name of God, creator of the universe, source of our true humanity, mother and father of us all.
We meet in the name of Jesus, Word made flesh, Savior of all humanity, lover of all.
We meet in the name of the Holy Spirit, guardian and giver of life, midwife of a new humanity, lover of us all.
Be present here, O God, in our prayers and praises, in our attentiveness to your word, in the purity of our hearts.
Be present here, O God, in the children in our care, in the youth who are growing and maturing before our eyes, in the middle-aged who are becoming seasoned, and in our elders who are wise and knowing.
Be present to us in the teeming city in which we gather. Be present, we pray, in museum and library, concert hall and city hall, state house and meeting house, office building and hospital, classroom and hotel room, eating establishment and the marketplace, soup kitchen and shelter, Freedom Trail and Black Heritage Trailer.
Be present, O God, in places sacred and profane, high and low.
And may we, in turn, be ever attentive to your presence for all the wide earth. Amen.
We invite you now to greet one another, wishing each other peace for the peace of Christ.
If you seek to live a life of meaning and purpose rooted in the pursuit of justice and the cultivation of mercy, then welcome to Old South Church in Boston, for that is what we aim to do, though God knows we don't always get it right. If you seek to live in love and fellowship with God and all God's people, if you seek to affirm the blessedness and dignity of every person, especially the most outcast and reviled, then welcome to Old South Church, for this is our guiding star. And though it is far from us, and we have not yet arrived. If you like babies, and blessing babies, then welcome to Old South Church, because today we get to welcome Catalia Shea into the life of faith. We are so glad that you are here with us today. I'd invite you to take the friendship pads at the end of your pews and open them up. Inside you'll find paper and pen. We invite you to leave your name, a little bit of information, maybe a prayer, or some contact info. We will write you back. We'd love to help you get engaged in this active urban congregation. If you are very new here, we also invite you to join us at our welcome hub, where I will be following worship at the piano down in the front. And you can come with your questions, or if you'd just like to meet a friendly face, we'd love to get to know you better. I'd invite you to turn to the announcements in your bulletins, and there are just a few that I'd like to highlight. Next week is our Children's Sabbath, where the children and youth will be leading us in worship at both at Jazz on Thursday, but also at our 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock services next Sunday. And between the services at 10 o'clock, our youth will have a pancake breakfast for you all, so we hope you will join us. And then the week following, on the 27th, there's a special concert, the City Strings Concert, which is a partnership that we have had for many years. That's October 27th at 3 o'clock in the chapel. We hope you'll join us for that very special event, which helps support City Strings, which empowers youth and young adults as they work towards developing their skills. And so We are so pleased that you are here with us today, and we have some other special guests with us. At Old South Church in Boston, we pride ourselves on being a teaching church, passing on the faith to new generations and equipping leaders for ministry in its many forms. And today we welcome the residents of our Urban Pastoral Ministry Program, which is a partnership between four local congregations, including our own, and Boston City Mission. So I'd like to introduce, you should know Amo, who is our resident here, and then also Jana Dye, who is pastoral resident at First Baptist Church in Jamaica Plain, and Jamie Mangiamelli, who is pastoral resident at Bethel AME, New Roots AME, and then in absentia, Debbie Duval, who is resident at Fourth Presbyterian Church. We wish you all the best in these coming years, and we bless you on your way. And we hope that you'll have lightness of spirit and sense of purpose, and we are so glad to have you ministering among us in the city. I should mention we were also joined by Reverend Daryl Hamilton, who's Program Director for Urban Pastoral Ministry Program. Most gracious God, we are so glad that you are in this place. And so we turn to you now in worship.
invite forward Catalia Faith Shea and bring with you your parents, your godparents, and your big sisters. Also with them is Nancy Kuklin representing the Board of Ministers and Deacons. Church, in the sacrament of baptism, we do two things. First, we give God thanks for this amazing new life. And second, we welcome this new person into the life of the Christian church, into the family of faith. And in order to do that, I invite you to find in your bulletins the litany of baptism. We are gathered to present Catalia to the church and to dedicate her to God. What can we affirm about her?
That she is a child of God and made in the image of God.
As Catalia grows in our congregation, how will she know that she is a child of God made in God's image?
We will give her our love and include her in the life and ministry of this congregation.
How will she learn of the Christian faith? You, David and Jessica, parents, and Frey and Jeannie, godparents, assume your primary responsibility for fulfilling these expectations by growing with Catalia in the Christian faith, helping her to become a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by offering her the nurture and support of the Christian church.
With the help of God, we happily and gently accept this serious duty.
And do you, Old South Church, pledge to work toward creating and maintaining a nurturing and challenging Christian environment for Catalia.
We do, for she belongs to us as well.
Then may God be with us.
God help us. Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the gift of creation called forth by your saving word. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus Christ, who was nurtured in the waters of Mary's womb, who was baptized by John in the water of the Jordan, and who became living water to a woman at the Samaritan well. By water he washed the feet of the disciples and sent them forth to baptize all nations by water and the Holy Spirit. Church, I ask you to raise your hands in blessing over this water. Bless by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. By your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that sin may have no power over them, and create new life in the one baptized today, that she may rise and rise and rise in Christ. Amen. Catalia, come here, darling. Shall we try? Okay, let's see if we can do this. Catalia, we baptize you in the name of the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Catalia Faith, child of Jesus, disciple of the church, disciple of Jesus, child of the church, and member of the church. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the congregational welcome printed in your bulletin. We rejoice in God's empowering love, freely given to each and all. We welcome you, newly baptized, into the circle of love in Christ Church. We promise to pray for you, to seek the depths of faith with you, to support you, and to love you. We covenant with you to love God with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strengths, and our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.
Thank you.
This morning's readings are taken from three passages of Scripture. The first reading is from the book of Psalms, the 46th chapter, the 5th verse. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The second reading is from the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 7th verse. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. The final reading is from the book of Revelations, the 21st chapter. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as a crystal. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. The great street of the city was of gold, as of pure transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The Word of God.
Thank you. may be seated. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. For this sermon, you might want to have handy the images on page 5 in your bulletins. On October 13, 1860, a man with a camera climbed into the basket of a hot air balloon, sailed over Boston, and while just 2,000 feet above the city, snapped a picture. That picture, taken 159 years ago today, is the oldest aerial photograph of any city on Earth. And in its day, in 1860, the photo was a revelation. A God's eye view, a never before seen perspective, showing us a little cramped but neatly laid out. If you look carefully at the picture, you can make out the Old South Meeting House, our former home, and the old Trinity Church, which burned in the Great Fire of 1872. You can see windows, chimneys, and skylights in bewildering numbers. You can see Washington Street slanting across the picture as a narrow cleft, and see how Milk Street winds like the old cowpath it was, leading from the meeting house up Milk Street to the wharf, where on a certain December night, ships were boarded, tea dumped into the harbor, and a revolution ignited. What you can't see in the photograph is the city's social stratification in 1860. Irish immigrant versus Boston Brahmin. What you can't see is the bleakest, most painful poverty set against untold wealth. What you can't see in the picture is that we are in that moment on the very brink of a great civil war. What you can't see is the roiling anguish over slavery and economic disparity playing out on the streets, in homes, in churches, in courts of law, and seats of power. What that picture doesn't reveal or even hint at are the hard, sharp divisions between Catholic and Protestant, citizen and immigrant, landowner and tenement dweller. What you can't see is the inside of Tremont Temple, pictured in the lower picture, the night of the expulsion of abolitionists. Now, our Bible is not of one mind about cities. On the one hand, cities are hothouses of prodigious sin, concentrations, and let me list them for you biblically, of paganism, violence, idolatry, corruption, oppression, materialism, and greed. Nineveh is reviled as, quote, a city of blood and full of lies. Jerusalem is called a harlot. Babylon, a home of demons and haunt for evil spirits. It is upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that for their sin, God rains down upon them sulfur. It was upon the cities of Bethsaida and Chorazin that Jesus pronounced woe. On the other hand, biblically speaking, cities represent microcosms of God's redemptive plan. Every city represents the possibility of redemption. Every city represents the possibility of we humans getting it right, getting along, providing services for all. Every city represents the possibility of the institutionalization of real justice and the institutionalization of real compassion, of social, economic, and government order that benefits all and privileges no one group above the others. Thus, God sends Jonah to save Nineveh, that great city. Thus, the exiles who find themselves in Babylon through no fault of their own are instructed by God to seek the welfare of the city, to pray to the Lord for Babylon. Thus, Jesus' entire 3-year ministry is one long pilgrimage, always aiming toward the city of Jerusalem. A pilgrimage that carries him through countryside and village and town, but always aimed toward Jerusalem. And thus does Jesus weep over it when he arrives, weeps as would a parent over a wayward child, a child loved and beloved, but naughty. Thus, in the Bible's final book, its denouement, there appears a heavenly city coming down out of heaven, not a garden, a city, at the ending, our crescendo. And here is what else the Bible recognizes about cities. Cities have an outsized influence on the life of the nations in which they are situated. And while there is no question that cities can be hothouses of sin, they are often also the locations of moral and ethical revolution. Moral and ethical upheavals are ignited in cities and then spread eventually to town, village, and countryside. Similarly, while cities can be locations of great sin, they can also be the locus of the greatest progress, where the arts and the sciences flourish, where movements of reform and moral accountability find purchase. We can regret the other image, the lower image on page 5, the expulsion of abolitionists, white and black, from Tremont Temple in 1860. But that painful incident was in fact a sign of progress in its day. Progress was being made on abolition, and it was happening in the city, in this city. Old South Church has always been an urban church. It's in our heritage, our DNA. It is our calling. Even in our earliest days, though Boston was no city in 1669, we planted ourselves in the midst of the densest population at the time. We've always been in the thick of things. Which begs the question, what is defining for us about being an urban church? How does our urban location inform our work, our ministry, our mission? And not least, our theology. What does God expect of us, of Old South Church, located as we are in the heart of this city? I have some answers. First, we are to call out the city's sins. When necessary, call it out for rapacious materialism, greed, lack of compassion for the poorest of the poor. Call it out for unaffordable housing and faulty public transportation and redlining and redistricting. Second, offer ourselves, offer this church as a true sanctuary in the city, a place of prayer, sheltered from the weather, welcome to the stranger, a sanctuary of beauty and of peace, a building devoted not to commerce, but to God. Third, we are to give witness to God's good news no matter the bad news of the world. Preach love over materialism, forgiveness over cruelty. We are called to preach into and with our open door, its hinges well oiled, bear witness to the radical gospel of diversity and inclusion. Fourth, we are expected to pray for this city in which we are located. Bathe it in prayer. Pray that the city might live up to its promise to be a haven for all. Fifth, the church is always, always called to individual and corporate acts of compassion in the city, addressing material needs, welcoming the stranger, visiting the prisoner. And finally, we are, in fact, called to ministries of political engagement, public policy advocacy, and community involvement. After all, this isn't just any city. This is a capital city. And right now, right here in this location, we are but 1.4 miles from City Hall and 1.1 miles from the Massachusetts State House. How can we not? How can we not, in good conscience, but bring our discipleship to bear upon our citizenship? How can we not but speak up, act out on behalf of the most vulnerable, including a vulnerable and fragile creation? Our Bible, it opens in a garden. It opens up in a beautiful and lush garden, but it culminates in a city. It opens onto a garden paradise, but it comes to fruition, reaches its grand crescendo in a city, the New Jerusalem. And John, the author of the book of Revelation, of that final image and revelation of the final city, John is taken up to a high mountain where he can look down upon the New Jerusalem. It is a view not unlike the 1860 God's eye view of Boston. There's a difference, though. The city John is made to see is redeemed and gleaming in every way. There is no violence there, no injustice. Its gates are never shut. And there is nothing within it that is shameful, deceitful, or impure. Old South Church in Boston, it is toward this, a redeemed city. It is toward this and nothing less that the church can and must always bear witness. Somebody say amen.
Thank you. Let somebody say amen.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts.
Christ is our peace, our life, and our hope.
Let us pray together, and you may be seated. To our God in heaven, we give you thanks for this wonderful Sunday morning where we have come gathered together in your holy place, where we might worship together, where we might sing together, where we might share in joys and sorrows together, where we might welcome one another into this holy place together. Lord, we thank you that in this place together, your Spirit is present with and in each and every one of us. And God, help us to remember the power that together will your justice be made possible, not just within the walls of this church, but within the highways and byways of our city. God, help us to be mindful of the possibilities of justice, of compassion, of mercy, to be brought down and made manifest, to reincarnate itself among us in the city. Help us, God, to know that together anything is possible, and with and through you can be done exceedingly abundantly and above all that we could ever ask or think. And through the possibilities, we lift up the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray oh so long ago as a reminder of your presence eternally among us. And that prayer, all of you should know it, begins, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
It is an audacious thing to take an offering as part of our worship service. It is an audacious thing to pitch in together to build a community and then trust that others will show up and lend their voices and their support in strengthening that community. It is a radical act of faith. In giving to Old South, we are also supporting communities in the city, such as City Mission, that aims to root out poverty through homelessness prevention, offering respite and nurture to many. Let us join together in this audacious and radical act of faith and hope. This morning's offering will be given and received.
Let us pray. Most gracious God, you who provide for us in ways that we do not always recognize, we love your city. Help us to serve it. In all our giving, in all our living, may we express our gratitude for all that you provide, that we ourselves may be the gift, and our giving might spread into the world to do your will and build your city. Amen.
Before the benediction, I want to just say a moment that we have in our church today a Reverend Willard. Would you raise your hand, Reverend Willard, who is the descendant of our second minister, Reverend Samuel Willard, who was a good guy who fought against the witch trials. Amen.
Amen.
Who was the acting president of Harvard for 6 years. He would have been president, but he wouldn't live across the river, and he had to live across the river. But he was the acting president. So welcome, Reverend Willard. It's good to have you with us. Here for a wedding this afternoon or tomorrow? This afternoon. So we're our prayers and thoughts are with you, and we love having the Willard DNA in the building. Church, walk bravely into this new week. Shun the hollow, hallow the good. Forgive those who wound you and wound not in return. Encourage the discouraged. Cherish times with the lonely. Pray in private crannies about all things. Be found celebrating. Practice rejoicing. Encourage laughter in your soul. And may the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day. And let the whole church say, amen.